This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, September 1st. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, we'll hear about a new app launched today geared towards those interested in social justice advocacy events along the Front Range. The Latino Chamber of Commerce of Boulder County is offering a series of seminars to support Latino-owned businesses during Hispanic Heritage Month. And finally, our regular Wednesday feature, Naturally, with herbalist Brigitte Mars. A BBC update and commentary from Jim Hightower are at the bottom of the hour, and then it's a public affair. Today we'll hear the most recent presentation in the Boulder Forum on Economy, Climate, and Community series. The invited speaker this time was environmental documentarian John D. Lee, and the name of his lecture was Redirecting the Economy to Regenerate the Living World. Then at 9:30, the Morning Sound Alternative comes your way to bring you a mix of eclectic music until noon. That's all still ahead this morning. After these headlines, with KGNU's Alexis Kenyon.
Boulder County Health Department announced this week that all clinics in Boulder may administer third doses of the Pfizer and Moderna mRNA vaccines for immunocompromised people. Immunocompromised patients can get the free vaccine at Boulder County Health, as well as a number of other locations across Boulder County. Vaccine providers will not require ID or proof of medical history. For those who received their vaccines more than 8 months ago, for everyone else, those and who received their vaccine more than 8 months ago, you may be able to get the booster shot as soon as September 20th. The CDC says vaccinated individuals are about 80% less likely to get severe COVID, even if they're exposed to the Delta variant. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment estimates COVID hospitalization rates are 7 times higher for unvaccinated patients. About 75% of Colorado adults have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Coverage is lower among teens, with 55% of those ages 12 to 17 getting at least one shot. The city of Longmont will spray neighborhoods for mosquitoes who may carry West Nile virus tomorrow evening. The spray will target what the city calls mosquito hot zones, and will happen between 7 and 11 p.m. Because of unusual rainfall, mosquitoes have proliferated this year. Out of 114 samples, Boulder County recorded 5 mosquitoes carrying the West Nile virus. Across the state, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment has reported 15 human cases of West Nile virus this year. 3 of those originated in Longmont trapping areas, and 7 required hospitalization. While most people fully recover from West Nile virus, a report released by Tri-County Health Department found 1 in 150 people develop severe symptoms that affect the central nervous system. More common symptoms include headaches, body aches, joint pains, vomiting, diarrhea, and rash. The federal government plans to round up about 800 wild horses next week in San Wash Basin, a 250-square-mile piece of public land in northwestern Colorado. In what it calls an emergency roundup, the Bureau of Land Management has been removing wild Mustangs from public land across the country. They say as climate change causes mega droughts across the West, the horses devastate the land where they roam. Many have come out against the roundups, including Colorado Governor Jared Polis. Critics argue the Sand Wash Basin roundup will take about 80% of the wild Mustangs. And the roundup's favorite cattle who share the public lands. In an official letter to BLM, Polis questioned the BLM's argument that because of drought, the horses don't have enough food or water to survive. He also asked BLM to pause the roundup until they found a more humane way to control the size of the herd. He wrote in a letter, "There remain legitimate concerns about the fate of gathered horses, and I believe the better cooperation with the state and advocates could improve assurances about their long-term well-being and the avoidance of any potential slaughter." According to the Denver Post, an unnamed source said, despite the letter, the BLM will continue the roundup as planned. Denver used to be, until recently, one of the few cities left in the U.S. where, if you could afford the down payment on a house, it made sense to buy a home. That's because, on average, homeowners paid less rent than renters in monthly mortgage payments. A new monthly rental report from Realtor.com says things have changed. Denver housing prices have gone up almost 20% in the last 3 years. Today, Denver renters pay on average just below $1,900 a month. Homeowners now pay around $2,200 a month. It should be a little cooler today with highs around 86 in Boulder, Denver area and 30% chance of rain after 3 p.m. There is an air quality alert for much of the Front Range that warns of multiple pollutants. Ozone levels could reach dangerous levels, especially for sensitive groups. Outside our Boulder studios, it's 62 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Alexis Kenyon.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. Residents along the Front Range have a new way of keeping up with events with a social justice advocacy focus with an app that launches today. Joining me live via video call are Dina Samuels and Caleb Monroe, part of the app's teams. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Can you start by explaining what this app aims to do and why it's being launched in the Denver metro area?
We are so excited that today is the day that we're launching the website and the app. And it is an app that really is a hub of information that increases awareness and the impact of the events of social justice around social, political, and economic justice occurring in the Denver metro area.
And what organizations are involved with this effort and what organizations are the two of you with?
So we came together as a group of social justice activists after we had coordinated the White Privilege Symposium back in, what was it, 2018, Caleb?
Yeah.
And a group of us got together and we wanted to say, what's next? We really loved working together. The group is incredibly diverse and all our social justice activists in our own right, working with many different organizations. We came together, created this app, which Caleb has done a beautiful job putting together. And at this point, we are a 501c3, and we have these founding members, about a dozen founding members, participating organizations, and we are hoping to get many, many more as this grows. So we're really at the starting phase today of bringing on not only organizations, but also events that are open to the public.
And how is this app different than more traditional community calendar or events website?
I think one thing that really helps this stand out is that we are working directly with a lot of nonprofits that work in the social justice space to bring them together into this one space that everyone can find information in a single location. I know that is similar to a community calendar, but this has a very specific social justice focus that has been lacking, certainly in the Denver metro area. A lot of people have felt that they haven't been able to keep informed about what's going on without being on dozens of mailing lists and finding different groups on Facebook and hearing word of mouth. We're really trying to solve that problem by bringing everyone together in this one place.
Is it necessary to download and install the app on your phone in order to access the events listings?
No. So we have built a website that mimics the app. So anyone who wants access to this information can visit sjconnect.app. It's a fully functional website that feels like an app, but it works inside your browser. on any type of phone. And then we have the iOS iPhone app available as well for iPhone users. We'll be planning to work on an Android version of the app in the coming months.
And again, that website is?
sjconnect.app.
Okay, Caleb Monroe and Dina Samuels, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
September is Hispanic Heritage Month, and the Boulder County Latino Chamber of Commerce is marking the occasion by offering training and support services to Latino small business owners. KGNU's Rosana Longo-Better spoke with Berenice Garcia-Tellez, vice chair from Boulder County Latino Chamber, and their bilingual online offer called Due Diligence to Open a Successful Business.
After COVID, we saw like we need to do something to support Latino businesses in the community in Boulder County. What they need, so they need to increase their revenue. And how we can do it is by promoting them, promoting their businesses, their services, their products. And we're doing it through the Latino Business Month strategy that aligns with the Hispanic Heritage Month that runs from September 15 to October 15. And within this month, we're going to have technical assistance about economic development for the Latino business community in Spanish and English, and also passport, that is like a voucher book, let's call it like those that you used to see in the yellow pages. Like if you buy two tacos, you get one free drink, something like that. So all these businesses, they are 47 businesses registered, will be offering promotions to their customers so people in the community can go and buy from them. And if you complete 7 or more stamps, you can enter in a raffle of a gift card. We're going to have, for the technical assistant webinar that we're doing, is on the due diligence businesses need to follow before opening a business here in the county. And in Colorado, because we're having people not only in Boulder County registering for that workshop. In Latin America, you know, Rosanna and others, that there are not many regulations as here. Here we have a building code, a fire inspection, a public health inspection. You cannot put your food truck or open your business in any street. So we're going through all these steps that businesses need to follow before opening a business. Especially, there's many of them sometimes registered as a sole prop. That's good because it's easier. This means that you can file your taxes, your personal taxes and your business at the same time. But then, let's say something happens, so the liability will not only cover your business properties, but also your personal belongings. So we will go through the right legal structure that businesses need to follow, for example, like a LLC. And we're going to have Jaime Moreno, that he's part of the Latino Chamber, explaining more about it. And the insurance, how they can save on their taxes. So if you are hearing that you're a business owner or have a business idea, we hope to see you. You can get registered in our website or you can follow us on the Facebook group.
I'm speaking with Berenice Garcia-Tellez. She is the Vice President of the Latino Chamber of Commerce. And we are talking about a series of classes, seminars that are being offered for the community to really learn how to open a business and be successful with that business. You're going to have a list of panelists that are going to be talking about many things. And I see, for example, Jonathan Galindo from E4All. And I also see Jaime Moreno in the list, and he's from Frontera Group. You have also people from public health that are going to guide people in what are the permits that they need in order to establish a business.
For example, public health is Rosa Sidwell and Reina Cifuentes. They go through that public health inspections that a food truck or restaurant they need to follow because, yeah, you need a license of the city, you need a permit from the planning department, but if you're going to cook food, you also need a public health inspection. So they will talk about it. And in Boulder County, we are overrepresented in the food industry, and we saw that it's a subject and a topic that we really need to cover, especially for food trucks and restaurants. And I'm really thankful for my colleagues, Jaime, Jonathan Galindo, Alberto, Reine, Ross, and Blas for putting time to teach these businesses about it.
Now, these seminars are going to happen for a month. People are going to come and explain what business structure is right for you, either an LLC or a corporation, where in the city you can locate your food truck, and also what are the licenses and permits and the public health inspections, how are they done? Besides all this learning that people are going to be able to acquire through these seminars, are you also going to be talking about experiences that people had with small businesses during the pandemic that really were an eye-opener? I remember having the opportunity to interview you before and you explaining to me that at that moment when we were shut down, a lot of businesses didn't know what to do and how to open up again because it was not clear for them the rules and regulations that the cities were putting out for the small businesses, especially for the restaurants in particular.
We realized that we're helping businesses through the pandemic, you know, telling them the public health orders, where to find them at PPE materials, grants, financial loans. We realized that some of them, they don't have like a record organized. And so when they want to apply for their loans or SBA loans, they don't have the proper documentation, so they don't get the grant. So we realized that, no, we need to help them and we need to let them know why these documents are important, why it's important to be registered with the Secretary of State. For example, if you are called like Tacos Jose, you need to pay a certain amount of dollars to the state every year to keep having that name. And some of our businesses didn't know, and they need to be in a good standing to get some of the grants that are available. So things like that for some people may seem easy, but for others it's complicated. So we need to explain the value and the reasoning for doing so. Because once you ask, like we say in Spanish, en regla, everything is very easy. And we saw it. Many businesses got like 15K, 10K, 5K grants, but they saw the benefit of having everything organized and applying and trusting our organization to help them.
Do you have numbers that can really clarify and show us the reality of how much we're feeding Boulder County?
I don't have data, but I know that maybe this is a rough estimate. I may be, you know, biased, but we have like 100 and plus Latino businesses that are on the food service industry. We really need to help them in finding the right information. And especially because I have one senor, he started working in Chipotle, and then he learned and he was able to open his food truck. And then he was so successful with the food truck, and now he has a restaurant and has another food truck. And he said, it was very difficult to learn all the steps, but I was able to do it. And now he's thankful that we're helping him in the next step, that he wants to become, you know, to provide, to go compostable containers, recycling, composting. He's like moving to a next level. But this first step, that is all the permits, licensing, codes, all of that is where I still see like a gap that we hope to fill out with these cities. Because it's important, Rosanna. It's important for image as well, because, you know, there is a general concept that the Latino community don't follow rules or they don't care, but we care. Sometimes it's difficult to get access to the information. But once they get access and they learn, they become rock stars and they start passing the information to others, and others come and ask us. Some people, even in Denver, they share our information and say, hey, someone told me that you guys help businesses, so I need help. And it's nice. It's just, you know this because you have done work like this. It's just, you have to have boots on the street, visit them, show face, really mean help, be genuine, empathic with these businesses. And once you build a relationship, they really have your back. And I see them as my family. I really love Latino businesses. I think they are awesome. And the way they contribute to the economy of Boulder County is amazing. We want to work on a report to show the contributions to the GDP of the county in the future. Hopefully, with more capacity and more funding, we will be able to do it because it's important.
I have been speaking with Berenice Garcia Tellez about the due diligence to open a successful business, a set of seminars that are going to be offered free to the community in a bilingual format to learn how to open a business, to keep it open, and to be successful. Thank you again, Berenice, for the opportunity of letting me interview you today about this.
Yeah, thank you, Rosanna, and I hope to see all the people listening supporting the Latino business model strategies. It's a way to give back to these businesses that have been with us for years. Thank you.
It's now time to check in with Brigitte Mars, who brings us her weekly episode of Naturally.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars. I thought I'd talk about vision, you know, the better to see you with, my dear. According to the principles of Asian medicine, ultimately, the health of our eyes has a lot to do with the health of our liver. So if you're having stuff going with your eyes, maybe you need to think about not doing things that are damaging to your liver. You know, too much alcohol, too much coffee, fried foods, bad oils, not so great. But what should we eat to help our eyes? Well, certainly your mama was right. Dark orange vegetables, not only carrots, but things like winter squash and pumpkin and sweet potatoes, all of that beta carotene is very strengthening for our eyes. And blueberries are amazing. They even look a little bit like the eyes, but I assure you the blueberries are good for people with brown eyes and green eyes as well as blue eyes. You might want to think about adding some goji berries to your whatever it is you eat for breakfast, yogurt, applesauce, smoothies. Goji berries are really nourishing for the liver. And they're said to promote cheerfulness. So maybe it will just help you to have a brighter outlook on life. Another super eye food are sunflower seeds. If you think about the amazing sunflower, they turn and face the sunrise often, many species, especially when they're young. And then they turn and face the sunset in the evening. And they're really high in vitamin B2. Now, many of us, especially when we moved to Colorado, notice that our eyes are so dry. So this might be a good time to think about using a supplement of either hemp seed oil, flaxseed oil, or fish oil to lubricate our eyes, as well as eating those oil-rich raw sunflower seeds. I also think green leafy vegetables are super important for our eyes. You know, they do contain beta carotene, but the chlorophyll in there covers up the dark orange color. But greens like kale and arugula, yes, eat them every day. Eating greens is a discipline. And eye exercises, you know, I wore glasses until I was in 10th grade. And I started doing eye exercises in my self-discovery about natural health and natural medicine. And here I am, almost 70. I still don't wear glasses. So I really think that eye exercises can strengthen the muscles that hold in our eye, but they also increase circulation. Can't hurt to try. It's a great thing to do before meditation. So if you're looking at a computer all day, make sure you spend some time looking at greenery, because green is very healing and soothing to the eyes. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
Thank you for joining us on today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Alexis Kenyon, Rosanna Longo-Better, and Brigitte Mars for their work on today's program. A reminder that if you'd like to share a comment with KGNU, call us at 303-447-9911. We play the messages back on Tuesday mornings at 8:25.